Each and every week at Grace Bible Church, we get to take a piece of bread and a cup of grape juice together in the Lord's Supper. These are physical reminders to us of Jesus and what he's accomplished for us in the gospel. So let's allow God's word to guide us in rightly understanding, remembering, and proclaiming Jesus' death. Please open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Hebrews 10, 10. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Once for all. Let's walk through this gospel verse together. Hebrews 10:10 begins, "And by that will." Everything that follows in this verse occurred by God's will. When the text says, "that will," the "that" is referring us back to verses 7 and 9. Look there, where Jesus is quoting Psalm 40, saying, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." Here we see the perfect intertrinitarian submission of the Son to the Father. We hear echoes of Jesus in the garden in Luke 22:42, saying, "Not my will, but yours be done." And make no mistake about it, everything that Jesus did in his life, particularly his offering of himself on the cross for us, was done by the will of God. Have you ever wanted to know what the will of God is for your life? Well, here we have it, God's will at work, the offering of Jesus Christ's body for our holiness. The will of God is the holiness of the church. Read with me. "And by that will, we have been sanctified." The will of God at work accomplished holiness or sanctification for the church. To be sanctified or made holy basically means to be set apart by the will of God and not man. We have been set apart as holy by God, for God. And this use of sanctification here in this verse, it isn't primarily describing our progressive growth and practical holiness. That's how we often use the word. But here in Hebrews, it's describing rather the instantaneous, complete, and perfect change in our positional holiness before God. And notice the verb tense here. It says, "we have been sanctified." This is something that has already been accomplished. It has been accomplished permanently and securely. John MacArthur, commenting on this verb, says, "the force of the statement is, you have been permanently made holy. This fulfills the desire of our Lord when he said, you shall be holy, for I am holy." Our sins have been removed, and we have been made perfect in standing before God. Notice also that this verb is passive. It's not speaking of something that we have done, but rather something that has been done to us. Nobody can achieve holiness. Nobody. Apart from this sanctification, our salvation is not primarily dependent on us. So let's review. Whose will was at work in this verse? It was God's. And what was the aim of God's will? Our sanctification, our being set apart for holiness. So now three, how did God accomplish his will of our being made holy? It was through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Lenski writes on this verse, he says, as God willed the end, our sanctification, once for all, so he also willed the means to this end, the offering of Jesus' body on the altar of the cross. Israel was constantly called to be holy as God was holy. And that call has been continued through to the Christian as well. And God designed a sacrificial system for Israel to constantly remind them of their sin. But these offerings made year after year, they could never actually sanctify. They could never actually perfect those who would bring them or make them. They could never actually make anyone holy. No, instead, year after year, sacrifices were made, and they weren't able to actually provide cleansing of sin because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. So when Israel looked at the bodies and the blood of the bulls and goats piling up, there was a perpetual reminder, an annual proclamation that was made. We are sinful. But oh, how different and how much better this body and blood that we remember and we proclaim. The offering of the body of Jesus Christ on the cross, it did what the bodies of bulls and goats on the altar could never do. We have been sanctified. We have been set apart as holy. Our sins forgiven, our conscience cleansed, our hearts changed, and our position before God secure, holy forever. Grace Bible Church, this is what we remember at the Lord's Supper. The Israelites looked to the bodies of bulls and goats that reminded them of sin. We look to a symbol of Christ's body that reminds us of our holiness. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God Himself, He took on physical flesh. He took on a body to do with that body what no other body could do. He offered it to God as a sacrifice for sins. You see, in God's perfect justice, sin must be judged with death. And that's why, foreshadowing what was to come, the bull and goat sacrifices were slaughtered on the altar, a vivid reminder of sin and its result. So Christ came into the world, God Himself becoming a perfect man, to give that perfect body, a body that by the will of God would be slaughtered on the cross. He would not be slaughtered as a reminder of sin, as the bulls were, but as a declaration that our sins truly have been forgiven through that death. The only offering for sins that God accepts is the one that He provides. The only offering for sins that God accepts is the one that He provided. The body of Jesus Christ offered once for all. What an immense cost. At what an immense cost has our holiness come. And Hebrews 10:10 says that this sacrifice was once for all. No more sacrifice is necessary, just the one, to perfectly and completely take away sins, perfecting those who God has sanctified. So now, as we take communion, let's remember Jesus and let's proclaim together this death, which is our only hope for holiness before a holy God. The bread and cup in our hands and in our mouths. It reminds us that Jesus became man and that He offered Himself in that body to make us holy. We remember that this was by God's will. And we remember and proclaim that we have been made holy. We remember and we proclaim that our holiness was accomplished only through and is sustained only through the offering of Jesus' body on the cross once for all. If you've not believed in Jesus, none of this applies to you. You're not included in that we of Hebrews 10:10. You still have your sins on you, and you will face the judge. You will face holy God without your sins removed. You will face holy God as an unholy one. And for you, the result will be death, eternal death, hell. No amount of religion, hard work, good work, sacrifices, or anything else will be an acceptable offering to remove your sins from you and give you the holiness that God demands. The only offering for sins that God accepts is the one that He provided, the body of Jesus Christ, offered once for all. If you do not believe, or you have not yet trusted in Him, when the bread and juice come, please pass it by. But please turn from your sins and turn to Jesus. Please don't leave today without talking to me or somebody here about this glorious gospel. And Christian, as we take the bread and juice, remember and proclaim the holiness that Jesus accomplished for us by His death. Please consider your life. Is there any sin that you're aware of? Is there any sin that you're aware of? Confess it. Turn from it. Those who have been made holy before God through the offering of Jesus' body will pursue the daily practical holiness that is provided to you with that sacrifice. If you see sin in your life, confess it to God. Repent. And proclaim with us that Jesus has removed this sin from you. Thanks be to Jesus that for the believer, that sin does not affect your position before God. We have been sanctified. The work's been done. However, if you will not repent of known sin, you're not acting as one who has been sanctified by Jesus' death. Christians are ones who demonstrate this God-wrought setting apart to holiness by repenting of sin and pursuing holiness. So if you will not repent, you're showing yourself to be more like a non-Christian than a Christian. So just repent. But if you won't, please let the bread and juice pass by. Men, please come forward. We'll take communion together in a few minutes. So please hold the bread and juice when it comes to you, and we'll take it together.